Welcome to Addiction and Redemption.
Before the ayahuasca, before the clear blue skies, and before the great awakening, there were demons disguised as angels.
Okay, welcome back. Another episode. And I think there will be fancy intro music. I think maybe you just heard fancy intro music, but I'm not sure because I haven't edited it in. This is the fun thing about podcasting. Editing can support you in morphing the space-time continuum. Does that make sense at all? I don't know if I'm using the term space-time continuum correctly, but whatever. I record and then I edit. So there may be music, there may be not. I haven't decided. But if you heard music, how did what I'm speaking right now become... I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Never mind. I think you all know where I was going. So anyway, we left off with ayahuasca, and there's more ayahuasca to come because as I was, you know, I did this first journey, and me and my neighbor immediately planned the second journey, and we reached out to the shaman, or my neighbor reached out to the shaman, and we planned a ceremony in my building. So this is in the building on the beach, right? And we weren't going to do it in my apartment. My apartment was tiny, but we planned a ceremony in my neighbor and friend's apartment upstairs for me on the 8th floor. And it's this really beautiful, big, spacious place, very just really pretty much just totally gorgeous with this beautiful, you know, not 360-degree view, but 270-degree view of Lake Michigan and the city of Chicago and the town of Evanston to the north, and really just a very nice place. And this was going to happen 3 or 4 weeks after our first journey. Now, we're really excited and really enthusiastic and already starting to be taken somewhere with this shit, right? And the thing about the spirit medicine is it's very, very seductive. It's very, very charming. And it really leads you to see and feel some things that... they definitely start out real, but as time goes on, they don't necessarily stay real. And by this point, they're still pretty real, you know. But we did the second ceremony, and the medicine kicked in right away, and immediately I had gone very, very deep and was really just fucked up, for lack of a better way of expressing it. Very deep in the medicine, very the experience just took me over very quickly, and I started to create this relationship with ayahuasca, which is kind of what happens. You get into relationship with it. And the majority of this journey had to do with this girl, Robin, who I've alluded to her, I've mentioned her, but she really had a hold of my heart by this point. And we had gotten involved the previous November. My first song I ever wrote, the first really good song I ever wrote, I thought it was good, was called Last November. And so now it's May, and her and I are really hot and heavy, but she's still got this boyfriend, and, you know, I'm just completely in love with her and very much jaded, very much not seeing the gigantic blind spot going on here because it was all covered up with codependency and just this relationship I have to being abused by women, which goes back a very, very, very long time. You can read into that as much as you'd like. But this journey had a lot to do with her and what I should do with her. And it was very, you know, looking back on it, it's kind of like I didn't get the truth from the ceremony about her. What I got from the ceremony was that we were meant to be together. We're soulmates. And looking back, this is when I started to get, you know, not necessarily the most proper guidance. Now, there's certainly my responsibility in all of this. It's not like I'm perfect and this is just supposed to give me the truth and I'm supposed to receive the truth. But still, it started to kind of mess with me, and it continued to mess with me. Now, I did about 15, 16, maybe even 20 ceremonies total over the course of like 2010, 2011, maybe a little bit into 2012. I can't remember exactly, but it just kind of progressed, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, there were some very, very significant experiences that happened to me. For instance, on my fourth ceremony, we are down in Southern Illinois, and actually, to rewind to my third ceremony. My third ceremony, we were in Southern Michigan at this place called Renora. It's like this spiritual retreat center where they have sweat lodges, and you know, we did ayahuasca ceremonies. And that was my first. It was my first 2-day ceremony. So we drank it on Friday night and Saturday night, or it was either Friday night and Saturday night, or Saturday night and Sunday night. I can't remember. But that night, what happened to me the second night is beyond comprehension. I started to, I was deep in the journey. I was deep in the experience, and all of the sudden, I started to feel the presence of something powerful, very masculine energy, and it kind of invaded my experience, and it terrified me, and I felt a physical presence. So not just like a, you know, like this whiff or whatever of intuition telling me something there. I actually felt something physical. And what I had asked the night before, one of my intentions that I had set for the ceremony was to be put in touch with angels or spirit guides, which is a sketchy thing to ask about in retrospect, because you're basically asking the spirit world to come fuck with you, right? And so this is what I'm talking about with the seductive nature of this medicine, is that I kind of invited things into my human experience that I didn't necessarily need to be inviting. I opened up a conversation with energies and spirits that I didn't, it's not necessarily the best idea to do, right? Now, spiritual seekers are by nature very susceptible, very naive in general. And when a spirit shows up, like it did in this ceremony, that's what it was this very powerful masculine sort of male energy came into my experience, and I was really freaked out by it at first, and I ran to the shaman, and I said, you know, there's something here, and she said, well, what are you afraid of? And, you know, I basically became friends with the energy, and I'm not saying it was bad, like, that's not what I'm saying at all, but it's impossible to judge what the intentions of otherworldly beings are. This was not a hallucination. This was something that was real, that was, I don't want to say living and breathing, because it didn't have a body, but it was a very powerful and profound encounter with something that existed outside of the reality that we know as human beings. And I actually gave it a name. Its name was Steve. It introduced itself to me as Steve. And it is kind of like a masculine guide for me. But again, if you read into the scriptures and you read into the Bible, and I'm not a Bible banger or anything like that, but if you read into them, it basically says the spirit world, the world of the occult, OCCULT, is totally real. And it also says don't fuck with it. It says, leave it be. Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. I think that's what he's referring to here. Don't fuck with the spirits. Don't do seances. Don't go to graveyards and try to invoke the spirit of your dead grandmother. Don't fuck with it, because you don't know what's going to happen. And me, at the time, being spiritually very much naive, what do I think? I just think it's really cool, and that I'm some specially chosen person. I'm this specially chosen super being that angels visit. Now, there, I don't want to sound like I'm bad-mouthing the medicine or the experience, because we're going to get to how I ended up coaching. I ended up doing what I do for a living now, transforming lives as a direct result of my experiences with ayahuasca, as the direct result. There's absolutely no two ways around it. No one way around it. I forget the phrase. But anyway, there's no way around that. And so there started to be these sort of paradoxes. Like, yeah, I ended up a little jaded, but I couldn't imagine my life and how it would look had I not, you know? And there was some very deep, very powerful, very heavy, very amazing things that happened as a result of these ayahuasca journeys I took. But As the journeys progressed, as I continued to work with the medicine, the encounters I had with these spiritual beings became deeper and deeper and more profound. And the next ceremony I did, which was in Southern Illinois, I basically asked the medicine before I drank my second cup of it. I said, if there are any, you know, angelic beings that would like to introduce themselves to me, I'm open. And about, I don't know, 30 minutes later, 20 minutes later, I got surrounded in this, it's like the stars from the sky, the Southern Illinois sky, which was so many stars that night, enveloped me in this amazing, loving, dark indigo type of a womb and just surrounded me. And I got this very clear message that said, don't you get it? Like, you are an angel. Like, don't. And the second I had that realization, the experience just took me to a place that was so powerful and it was almost like multi-orgasmic. It was like having this spiritual orgasm that never ended. And it was so powerful that I needed the shaman to help me to process it. And so this is like what I'm talking about is that, on one end, I'm getting a little bit jaded and a little bit misled. But on the other side of things, I'm getting very much guided and reassured. And it was kind of like, oh, that's why I've been through all that I've been through. It's so that I could help other people and uplift them, kind of a thing. You know, and it was just very, by this point, it's not convoluted. I'm really seeing things very clearly. But at the same time, my vision is slightly skewed. So it's like when you're jaded, you see very clearly, but what you see isn't necessarily accurate. Now, there was plenty of accuracy here. I mean, because I ended up like looking at my relationship to women and what was going on there and vomiting profusely. This was the one night I vomited. This was the only time I vomited was this night. But I ended up vomiting all of the sleazy stuff I had ever done with women when I was drinking and really took a look at myself there. So there's this deep sense of healing going on. And there is this deep sense of like radical psychedelic psychotherapy going on and this purging of the old self. But the real work happens when you put the medicine down. The real work happens when you say, okay, you're a dirtbag with women, so stop being a dirtbag. You don't need any more medicine for that. You just need to stop doing it. You need to do what it tells you. And it's the integration of the experiences that's the most important part. And I'm going to get into that part when I get into the coaching aspect of all of this. Because ultimately, what the medicine was doing was leading me down a path where I'm supporting and uplifting human beings because I've kind of earned the right to do that as a result of all I've been through. But I just want to play around with the ceremonies. You know, and when it's time to create a coaching business, you don't really need to drink any more ayahuasca. You just need to go out and do it. And so I started to kind of dance in between two worlds. And I'm gonna end there, but we will pick up here next time. But thanks again for listening. Addiction and Redemption. I'm Dave Keenest.